Black people go to therapy? Black people go to therapy. Black people go to therapy?
The canvas of life.
Black people
is covered.
Go to therapy.
With ink as far as the eye can see. As painful as we can bear. As traumatic as we can imagine.
Episode 10. This is so exciting. Black people go to therapy. Episode 10. Black people got trust issues, man. It's as simple as that. You know, and every day it seems like this message is reiterated over and over again. We don't trust people within our community, the Black community. We don't trust people outside the Black community. We don't trust people in position of authority, especially. We don't trust people in position to help us with our health care needs. We don't trust the government. In fact, the American government has a poor history with respect to the welfare of the Black community. And so our distrust for the government, for people in general, is justified. It's rooted in trauma, and it's justified. I'm Dr. Robert Evans III. I'm a practicing psychotherapist, CEO of Empowerment Counseling and Training Services. I work with individuals, couples, families to provide healing, mental health, holistic healing, because, you know, as we're going to talk about, our health departments all work together. Also, the CEO of Integrative Therapeutic Solutions, a PRP program out of Waldorf, Maryland, soon to be an outpatient mental health program. So we're going to be doing big things. It's all about helping the community, all about helping the community and helping us to heal from our trauma. This podcast has some goals. First thing I want to do is to answer the question, do Black people go to therapy? I'm going to talk about my own practice. I'll talk about clients, of course, going to preserve their identities for confidentiality. But I'm going to talk about real experiences. I'm going to talk about my personal experiences. So I'm going to answer that question. Then I also want to encourage Black people, go to therapy, get help, right? Another goal is to change the mindset from us being reactive to being proactive. A lot of people feel like, well, if you go to therapy, that must mean you're broke. It must mean you need to be fixed. Something's wrong with you. And it's unfortunate. So I really want to debunk that myth that you have to go to get some type of help because something is wrong with you. I believe in being proactive and getting help just before anything's wrong. You know, health insurance in America, you know, it's very reactive. You got to be broken down before they want to kick things in. You got to get the generic version of medicine before you get the name brand medicine. You got to be showing signs or symptoms before you can get tested. I went to get my annual physical, man, and I go to a patient first because I don't like to have to schedule. I like to be able to walk in and they open 7 days a week. I don't have to schedule nothing. It just works for me and my lifestyle. But it's very impersonal because you may get a different doctor every time. And this particular doctor was new to this particular patient first site, so he wasn't accustomed to the practices there. So I said, yeah, I want to get tested of all the STDs. He's like, well, we don't usually. I'm like, I understand what you don't usually, but I want to use my health insurance, brother. I also want to get tested for HIV. I know I'm low risk. I'm married, all that. But I want my health insurance to work out for me. Since you're taking my blood, I want you to test me for anything you can test me for. Then I said, I want you to test my PSA. And this is for men, especially Black men. You go get your physical, you get your blood work, have your PSA checked. This is for prostate cancer. This is something that's plaguing Black men. And I think it's under talked about. It's under discussed, because especially with the complications that come. And I think that's probably why a lot of Black men don't talk about it, because sometimes you have to wear Pampers as a grown man. Right. And so it's very, very compromising and could be embarrassing, shameful to go through some of the things you have to go through, especially if you have to get the actual prostate surgery and have your prostate removed. It's a whole nother situation. But it's something that's under talked about. But when I said I want to be tested for it, because you can get tested and you can see if your PSA numbers are indication of whether or not there's a complication or problem. He's like, well, we don't usually test for that until you are a certain age. I said, brother, I don't care, right? I want to be tested. And then I said, look, my father also had prostate cancer and he had to battle with that. And that kind of, you know, piped him down a little bit. But too busy telling me what they don't usually test for versus just testing me. Because I don't want to wait until something's going on before you see if there's an indication of something could be going on. Let me know ahead of time so I can do something about it. So I want us to be more proactive, less reactive. And that's not just about our physical health, that's about our mental health. You don't have to wait until you are so overwhelmed that you got to stay in the house because now you suffer from panic attacks and now you're so depressed that you need to reach out and get help. Once you really need some support, ask for it, reach out. It's okay, right? Another thing I want to do is humanize talk therapy. I want to humanize talk therapy. I don't want people to feel like that something's wrong with you. You know, the first thing people ask if you tell them you got a therapist, you all right? Something wrong, right? What people need to understand is that we all share health departments. We have a physical health department, a mental health department, a spiritual health department, an emotional health department, and a social health department. We are the CEO of our own organization. And all of our health departments work under that umbrella of that organization, and they all work together. So if you are not feeling well physically, it can impact you emotionally, mentally, the whole nine yards. So being a human is to ask for help. Being a human is to talk and share information. We're not supposed to do this by ourselves. We're not designed to do this by ourselves. In fact, the most richest people in the world did not do it by themselves. They connected with other great-minded people, and here we have it, right? So another goal is to really give you some therapeutic tools, some practical therapeutic tools that you can go right away and use them immediately. And this is free. I'm not asking. This is free content. I'm working within my purpose. This is what I'm designed to do in life, is share information and help other people. I believe that we all have a shared purpose, which is to become the best version of ourselves. In doing so, we learn from our mistakes. We face adversity. We run to the pain of life. And that's what this discloses to us, our natural gifts and talents. And through that, we become the best version of ourselves because we keep tackling obstacles and we keep getting better. We got to become the best version of ourselves. In addition to that, we got to help other people along the way. Our purpose is directly connected with other people. It's undeniable. It's too many ways for us to literally connect with people through our senses. In fact, men and women literally connect like a puzzle. They connect together like a puzzle. So we are designed to do this together and to connect. And also have a passion for couples and wanting to help men and women thrive in relationships. So I'm going to be giving some relationship tools as well. One of my favorite things to do is work with couples, especially on the front end. I've had couples come to me on the back end, when you on the way out the door, when you got all nine toes out, you got one toe left in, but nine toes out. And you want me to really be a miracle worker. You want me to turn water into wine for real. You want me to turn one slice of bread into a loaf. And we've been able to do it. I done had people on their last leg come in and now they thriving. But you putting yourself at a disadvantage by doing that versus couples who come and in the beginning of a relationship, in the beginning of their marriage, before they get married, while they're dating. I love that because now we can really get to some things that'll help you to avoid those potholes before you fall in it. I can help you get out the pothole, but I prefer to tell you how to not hit the pothole, right? So with that being said, those are the goals. Each episode, I have gone into what I call an organizational health concern. Rather than say a mental health condition or a mental health concern or any of those things, it's an organizational concern because mentally, if I'm not feeling well, it's going to impact me physically. It's going to impact all of my health departments, right? It's going to impact my social health department. I may shut down, isolate, don't want to talk to nobody. It's going to impact me all the way around. So it's an organizational concern. We've talked about some heavy hitters so far. So, and some of them, of course, I'm going to come back to them because they're so heavy, like anxiety, you know, forgiveness. These types of things are things that we're constantly going to be talking about. But today's organizational health concern is motivation. I wanted to start off with a quote. The quote just happens to be from my book, Run to the Pain. You will know you have matured. You will know you have matured when you no longer have to face the same obstacles while experiencing the same level of difficulty. That's good. It's one thing to go through an obstacle. It's another thing to repeatedly go through the same obstacle. But what if you go through the same obstacle and it's not as hard this time? It's a little bit easier because you learned from your previous mistake. So there's room in there to be human because we may make a mistake again, right? For those people, and I know I have one of my clients who she's going through her second divorce and she's been extremely hard on herself because she did not want to have to go through another divorce. And she was kind of pushed into a corner because their relationship became physically abusive and she didn't have any other choice but to end it. And, This quote really means that, okay, I learned from the first one, I made some adjustments, and now I'm going to learn from this one to make some adjustments. There's room for the human existence to make mistakes, recover from them, grow from them, and keep pushing, right? But the key is to learn. So today I want to talk about motivation because, you know, motivation is one of those things that comes up quite often. When I'm talking to my clients, oftentimes they feel stuck. They feel like there's a lack of motivation. And I think motivation is a real thing, right? But I think we allow it to dominate us. And I'm going to talk further about that. I want to give a definition of motivation that I found. And just to bring this home, you know, when you think about some of the tasks that you have yet to complete, right? Some of the tasks that you have yet to complete because you've told yourself, I'm just not motivated. You may have some housework to do. And this could be big, small. Motivation stops people from doing the smallest things. It could be clipping your toenails, right? But going to get exercise, that's a big one. Oftentimes people feel like, you know what, I'm not motivated. So that's why I haven't gone. Changing your diet, completing school. Some people that put off completing school, doing some homework. Maybe you just need to get some homework done. Having tough conversations with your spouse. That's a big one. I call that the elephant in the room. When you know you should be talking about something, know you should be following up with something, and you've chosen to stop talking. That's the elephant in the room because what happens is that topic of discussion becomes very, very smelly. I don't know if you've ever been to a circus or you ever been to the zoo, but the elephant area is probably the most funky part, right? The elephants stink. And what happens is that topic becomes so foul. Every time you run into a situation that reminds you of that thing that you know you're supposed to be talking about, it gets under your skin because it's smelly. And For many couples, what happens is one person has an issue with it more than the other person. One person is, I mean, they on 1,000, the other person not really tripping. And what happens is for that person who really, really is pissed off about that elephant, they the ones that's going to go off or become numb. Because what happens is they get fed up, they stop talking about it. The other person living their best life. They like, cool, you ain't talking about it no more? Sweet. We ain't got to ever talk about it. They living their best life. They laughing, having a good time. And every time the other person sees them smile, they pissed off more. And that elephant just gets more and more smelly. Eventually, you get cold, you become numb, you shut down, and that's bad. Or you explode. Explosion is actually bad, but it still means you have some emotional connection, What's even worse than that is if you are cold and numb, because a lot of times there's no recovery from that. But the whole thing is that we cannot go on and not communicate and stop talking. But having tough conversations with a spouse is something that people put off because they feel like they're not motivated. Ending a relationship, one that is toxic, one that's not productive, one that's not going anywhere, people feel like they're unmotivated and they just stay in the relationship. And next thing you know, you look up, you 10 years deep in a relationship that you can't stand or don't understand why you're in it. Signing divorce documents. It's people that's not divorced. They moved on with their life, live in whole different houses, got relationships, and you ain't signed the divorce papers? Come on now. I work with people who sat in my office on the couch and we're talking and they struggling in their current relationship. And we talk about previous relationship, it's revealed that they still haven't signed off on that document. And wonder why they can't quite move on. Wonder why they can't quite become vulnerable enough in the current situation, because you have not closed out the last situation. You have not completely transitioned from the last situation. Because whether you realize it or not, there is a mental and emotional transition that takes place after you sign. Even if you go through the grieving process before you even file for divorce, because for many people they do, especially for the person who is initiating the divorce, you've probably gone through the grieving even before you signed the paperwork. That's what happened with me. I was going through a grieving process for a couple of years because I had to grieve the decision that I needed to make. But even after all of that, once you sign the paperwork and you get the stamp from the judge, there's still a transition that takes place emotionally and mentally. So you have to get that paperwork signed, but people put it off. They feel like, oh, I don't have to get it signed. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Especially if you want to move on with your life, especially if you want to transition into anything new, that is going to hold you up. Pay taxes. It's another big one. There's people right now that's sitting on years of unpaid taxes. Unpaid taxes. And it's going to catch up with you sooner or later. If you plan to progress in your life and grow and go on to do other things, purchase a house, there's going to be some things that you're going to be unable to do because you didn't file your taxes. And eventually it's going to come back and bite you and it's going to hurt really bad. So please do not allow a lack of motivation to hold you up from filing your taxes, right? Run to the pain, deal with it, get on the payment plan, whatever you got to do. And, you know, I have clients who are in that predicament, and for many of them, they can actually have a business. And so what I've encouraged them to do is start their business, because what can happen is that you can offset some of your taxes. Some of your tax liability can be offset if you have a business. So that's just a little plug real quick. Another thing that people hold off on is apology. They hold off on apologizing because they've told themselves that they don't feel motivated, right? So what do these tasks have in common? Number one, they're uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable. These are uncomfortable things to do. Pay your taxes mean your bank account gonna get a little bit low. Signing some paperwork means that there's some finality. This is now the end of a chapter or the end of a book. It is a marker of a new beginning, but people focus on the end versus the new beginning. Ending a relationship means you got to start over. Having a tough conversation means that you're going to have to face some things about yourself. You're going to have to humble up. You're going to have some humility. Because it's not going to be all on the other person. And that's oftentimes what people are trying to avoid, is having to face the role that they played in the relationship or in the communication or in the conflict. They don't want to face that. So these things have in common that they are uncomfortable and they are the opposite of relaxing. They are the opposite of pleasure, because that's what people want. People just ultimately want to just feel good. Why can't I feel good all the time? Why do I ever have to be uncomfortable or feel some pain. Dr. E, why do I have to run to the pain? In fact, I'm not listening to you no more because you're talking about doing something that don't feel good. That's what they have in common. And that's why you're still stuck. But I'm going to help you out. Also, they are viewed as a task. These things are viewed as a task, a job, a chore. And if you know anything about chores, especially in the Black community, that's something that was not made to be fun typically. Typically, it wasn't a fun thing to do, was to do chores. Oftentimes in the Black community, you had to wake up first thing in the morning on Saturday and you had to bust your ass. You wanted to wake up and watch cartoons, Saturday morning cartoons. I'm dating myself now. I don't even know if they have Saturday morning cartoons anymore, but I used to get up. I wanted to watch wrestling, right? First thing in the morning, 8 o'clock, wrestling. What was it? Dungeons and Dragons, Smurfs, right? Anyway, Thundercats, He-Man and them. But I want to get up and watch that. Transformers. Nah. You got to get up and you got to bust this bathroom. Not just your bathroom, but all the bathrooms in the house. Get those out the way. Wait a minute. That's your bathroom. That's your soap scum on the joint. Oh, nah. I couldn't say that. I wish I would have said, Ma, that's y'all soap scum in y'all bathroom. No. That's my chore. So we have a negative connotation, a negative association when it comes to what we consider to be a chore. If we think it's a chore, it's going to make our stomach hurt and we're not going to want to do it, right? And so oftentimes we attach that mindset to things that we absolutely have to get done. And it makes us move those things down on the priority list because we look at it like a chore. So what's another thing? There's a level of difficulty attached to these things. There's a level of difficulty and it's going to require a level of effort. We're going to face some resistance when it comes to these things. We're going to have to put in some elbow grease when it comes to these things. We're going to have to put in some effort. And especially when it comes to the things that require cooperation from another person, it's going to require some patience. It's going to require some extra things that you really don't want to have to deal with. These are things you really just don't want to have to deal with, right? So the discomfort is the opposite of pleasure. It's a chore. Then I'm going to face some resistance. You're asking me to do some extra work and you're asking me to be patient with somebody else. I got to deal with a whole other person. These are the things that stop us, right? These are the things that the commonality amongst these things that we claim we're not motivated to do. But guess what? There's no shortcuts in life. There's no shortcuts in life. I'm just going to give you a life lesson. There's no shortcuts, and you're either going to do the work on the front end or the back end. But you can't skip that step. You can't skip the step of doing the work. It's either you're going to do it on the front end or the back end. For me, I don't even know. I think and this is the good thing about having to wake up in the morning early, do chores, and what I didn't know as a child and what I know now is that my parents were instilling in me work ethic. They were instilling in me work before play because I could not go play until I got the work done. And what I realized from that is, wow, let me go ahead and do the hard stuff first so I can chill later. Now, for me, it's hard for me to chill if I know I got hard stuff to do. I want to get that stuff out of the way. I got a vacation planned later. But I got to do something hard first before that so I can relax, because otherwise it's going to be hard for me to relax. So understand, either you're going to do the work on the front end or you're going to do the work on the back end. So let me read a definition of motivation that I found. It says motivation is the reason for which humans and other animals initiate, continue, or terminate a behavior at a given time. Motivational states are commonly understood as forces acting within the agent that create a disposition to engage in goal-directed behavior. Right? That's what I found on the internet. Now I'm going to read motivation from Run to the Pain. Motivation truly boils down to one's desire to change. For some folks, it's challenging for them to see themselves beyond their current circumstances. So they don't even know that they should desire a change because they can't even see themselves beyond the current circumstance. So they don't even know they should desire a change. For them, the first step is to realize and accept that they are uncomfortable. They have to realize it. Some people are in an uncomfortable state and don't even realize it. Discomfort is at the emergence of any change process. At the emergence of any change process, gotta be uncomfortable first. Otherwise, why would you change? Why would you change? Discomfort is a stream that flows into vision. Once you have accepted that your current situation is not the best representation of yourself, you will seek more. Vision is acquired by nothing less than simply pivoting your current position to acquire an alternative viewpoint. Simply seek. When you're uncomfortable and have acquired an improved vision of yourself, you are at the genesis of motivation. Motivation is at the intersection of discomfort and vision. So the equation is discomfort plus vision equals motivation. If you think about the times we're in now, we're in 2023. Right now we battling with AI, right? This is like really Terminator, T2. This is what's happening right now, right? But prior to now, where you have electric vehicles and your whole house can be automated and you don't have to touch anything. You can just walk in your house and everything is programmed. Before all of that, we didn't have any of that stuff. Can you imagine the time? I remember when there was no internet. I remember when there was no cell phone. I didn't get a cell phone until college. There was pagers before that. Payphones. You had to go to a payphone, right? We had the rotary phones. Then we had the push button joints. But the point is, there was a time before we had all of this technology. There was a time before we had cars, planes, people was riding on horses, donkeys, right? Trying to figure out how to get from A to B. But what did it take for somebody to create something new? For somebody to innovate, for somebody to say, I'm gonna design something. You know, the person that came up with the walkie-talkie, they put him in a psych hospital. I can't tell you his name off the top. All I know is they thought he was crazy. He said, now, you know what? I want to talk to somebody in a different room with no wires attached. They said, bruh, man, sit your butt down somewhere. you know what? You need to come with me. Come with me. Now, watch your head. Come here. We're gonna take a ride. They took this brother to a padded room. But guess what? It required you to be uncomfortable. I'm tired of walking. My feet is blistering. My feet, I got all kind of, my feet are dog, Joe. I need to not walk no more. What am I gonna do? Oh, you know what? Maybe we can fly. Maybe it's a way I can build something and we can fly. They thought the Wright brothers was crazy. Brother said, you know what? I want to create a car. And I want to create an engine and put gasoline in it, create a bomb that could blow up. And I want to put wheels on it and ride with the bomb to take me someplace from A to B. What you think about that? Wait a minute. You want to strap a grenade to some wheels and sit on the grenade? And ride that somewhere? That's what you want to do? Yeah, because I'm tired of walking, bro. What you going to do? You going to keep walking or you going to get on this grenade? That's what we have now. Whole grenades that we ride on, right? Nuclear weapons that we ride around on. Now we going to space on a whole nuclear bomb. This is the kind of thing that comes from being uncomfortable enough to say, I want to do something different. It requires that. But then you have to be able to see. If you can't see beyond your current circumstance, it's going to be tough for you to move beyond it. It's going to be very tough. The challenge for this equation, discomfort plus vision equals motivation, is that for many people, they've conditioned themselves to be comfortable while being in an uncomfortable state. They've been in this situation so long that they forgot they could do better. They forgot. They lost their former identity and they replaced it with that of someone who tolerates and accepts unloving treatment from self or others. Let me read that again. They've been in this situation, they've been in this so long that they forgot that they could do better. They lost their former identity and replaced it with that of someone who tolerates and accepts unloving treatment from self or others. I wrote that, by the way. But that's deep. I always tell my clients about this analogy of the trunk. And I may have said this in the previous episode, but I'm going to say it again. Because I think this is just so relevant. If you can imagine that someone, you know, you being kidnapped, somebody snatch you up, put a hood on you, and they throw you in the trunk. Bam! Close the trunk. Out of nowhere. You can be like, get me out of here! You're going to be kirking out for a while. Eventually, you're going to take the hood off. Get me out of here! Right? And then, what if they drilled a little hole and put a little straw in that joint and drip some water in there? You, thank you, thank you, thank you. Then they squeeze some food in there. Thank you. You're so happy, right? Then you go back to sleep. Then you cry yourself to sleep. And eventually, after so many days of getting fed through the straw, of getting fed, getting your drink, you're going to find a way to be comfortable. You're going to adjust. Your body's going to mold to the shape of the trunk. You're going to adjust to that trunk. That trunk was stinking like I don't know what when you first got it in. Now you adjusted to the smell. That's how people be walking around funky. I don't know how they do it. They be in the gym and they stink, man. That should be a rule in the gym. If you funky, man, if I had my own gym, I would have to let people know, look. The rule is you got to smell all right. You can't be offending people in here. So either I'm going to spray you with this axe or you got to go take care of that then come back. But anyway, I digress. You're going to be comfortable with the smell in the trunk. Eventually, over time, if that same person who threw you in the trunk comes and opens the door, a couple of things might happen. One, they open the trunk and they say, look, you're free to go dive in this bed. This is just for you. Nice, comfortable bed. All yours. Dive in. Either you might say, nah, you know what? I'm good. Go ahead, close the trunk. Right? They say, you sure? Yeah, I'm good. Can I get my 12 o'clock Slurpee? Yeah. You good on the 12 o'clock Slurpee? Can I get my 1 o'clock little smushed up crackers? Yeah. You got that. Close the trunk, right? That's how a lot of y'all are right now. Y'all in the trunk and don't even realize it. Or they might jump out the trunk, jump in the bed. And guess what they do? By the end of the night, they back in the trunk. By the end of the night, they back in the trunk, close the trunk on themselves. Why? Because they've been conditioned to be in that uncomfortable space so long that it's now comfortable. And for many people, that's exactly what's going on with you right now. You are in a trifling situation right now. A situation that if you ask yourself, if you really sat with yourself and said, do I deserve this? Your answer would be no. And it's people around you who love you are telling you, you don't deserve this. But you're ignoring it. Because you're so stuck, you are uncomfortable, but you're comfortable in an uncomfortable state. That's one of the problems with this equation, right? My equation of discomfort plus vision equals motivation. You first have to recognize that you're in an uncomfortable situation. You first have to recognize it. And for some people, you're so lost, you don't even know it. So what can we do? First thing is we need to stop waiting until we feel like doing something. Stop waiting until you feel like it. Feelings don't got nothing to do with nothing. But we've told ourselves that they do. We've told ourselves it because we've attached pleasure to the thing that we want to do. And that's what we hold on to. We hold on to, I want pleasure. I want to feel good. This doesn't feel good, so I don't want to do this. And that's what dominates whether or not you get it done, is because you don't feel like it. It doesn't feel good. You go back to the list of things that you've been procrastinating on. If you're honest, these are things that you don't feel like doing. Talking to somebody, doing some chores, doing some homework, doing some housework, completing school. These are things that attach to feeling. We have allowed our feelings to dictate our actions. We wait for motivation. We wait for feeling. We wait until we want something. We have to replace these things with necessity. Replace motivation, replace feeling, replace want with necessity. These are all concepts that we've told ourselves. This is why I'm going to do something when I feel motivated to do it, when I want to do it, when I feel like doing it. No, you do it because it's necessary. And if you think about it, if you're honest, there's things that you do right now today that you don't feel like doing, but you get it done because in your mind, you've told yourself that it's necessary. But we have to now tell ourselves those things that we've been putting off are necessary. Those things that we've been putting off are necessary. Those things that we've been putting off that actually matter to our health departments, those things that actually are holding us back. If you don't pay those tickets, they're going to double. If you don't pay those tickets, they're going to double. Your license might get suspended. You might not be able to drive. You cannot keep putting these things off. If you don't pay that mortgage, you're going to foreclosure. If you don't pay that rent, you're going to get a notice on your door. Stop putting these things off. If you don't go to that doctor because you're afraid of what the doctor might tell you, then guess what? You may not make it. You may drop dead. Don't wait for the emergency to happen before you take care of business. Transfer the idea of needing motivation, needing a feeling, or needing a want to this is a necessity. Stop searching for motivation and start developing discipline. Discipline. Another word for discipline is order. So this is gonna be a cheat code for people that's struggling, because they feel like, man, I'm not motivated, man, I don't feel like it, man, you know, I just don't even want to do it. But when you put order in your life and you develop discipline, then that changes the game. Order in our lives is what keeps us balanced. It minimizes anxiety and frustration, decreases depression, mitigates failure due to procrastination, and it increases success and happiness. Say that again. Order in our lives is what keeps us balanced. It minimizes anxiety and frustration. It decreases depression, mitigates failure due to procrastination, and it increases success and happiness. If you think about a lot of the reason why you're frustrated, think about it. All the time, especially in the morning, people are frustrated because they're running late. People having road rage because they're running late. People are in a rush because they're running late. People are pissed off because they're rushing to get somewhere. They're rushing to try to do something. Why are you rushing? Why are you so much in a rush? Because you don't have no order. Because you need to be disciplined. Because if you would have got up in time to give yourself enough time to get out of the house in a timely fashion, to beat the traffic, or to relax in the traffic. There's people that's relaxed in the traffic. Why? Because they're not in a rush, because they have order. Discipline does not require a prerequisite of feelings, motivation, or even desire. Discipline requires an acceptance and understanding of order to optimize performance. Say that again. There's some jewels in this joint. I'm going to have to tweet half of this. Discipline does not require a prerequisite of feelings, motivation, or even desire. Discipline requires an acceptance and understanding of order to optimize performance. So think about it this way. If you want to optimize relationships, we need to have difficult conversations. It's not about whether I feel like having it. It's not about whether I want to have it. If I want to optimize my relationships, I must have difficult conversations. If I want to optimize my health, then we need to exercise and eat life-promoting meals. Not because I feel like it, not because I want to, because I want to optimize my health, and it's a necessity. If I want to optimize my education, I must study. Not because I feel like it, but because it's a necessity. If I want to optimize having a fresh home environment, I got to clean or hire somebody else to do it. If I want to optimize healthy friendships, we need to set and maintain boundaries. None of the above requires you to feel like doing something first before doing it. You simply must know what it takes to improve an outcome and put one foot in front of the other. Need to be able to see yourself beyond your current circumstances, and sometimes your vision can be cloudy. For those people who are so accustomed to being in an unhealthy situation and environment, for those people, here's where a qualified person to assist you with your vision is imperative. A qualified person. You got to go to somebody qualified. One of the reasons that's important is oftentimes people go to people who support them, who have a bias, who are subjective, who feel like they're helping them. And so they don't have a tendency to really point out the things that they need to do to fix themselves. They don't really know how to do it in a way where the person is going to be able to receive it. You don't want to be with around people who are yes men and yes women, who just going to go with the flow, who just going to, okay, let's ride, because they're so worried about themselves, they're really not tripping off you. You need to go to somebody qualified who can say, look, man, let's go over this vision. This vision that you said, where you said that you want to be happy, but you're allowing yourself to be in this situation. You allow yourself to be in the trunk, but you want to be able to stretch yourself out and be able to go and come as you please. But you're in the trunk. So let's process that, right? Let's go over some more solutions. These are things that also impede on a person's mindset when it comes to motivation. Don't allow fear to motivate you to stand still, right? Fear of the unknown is one of the top motivators to stay stuck. So when we talk about motivation, and again, earlier the definition was a reason why people do things. One of the top reasons why people do or don't do things is fear. And you got to identify how you're allowing fear to operate in your life. Tap into your resiliency. Tap into your resiliency and your prior triumphs over adversity. For many people, they don't get themselves enough credit. You done came through 17 surgeries. You done bounced back from all of these things, and you still about to do a triathlon, and you worried about whether or not you're going to put in the application for the triathlon. Give yourself some credit. You're resilient. You made a stone mixed with concrete, mixed with vibranium. You battle tested. You forged by fire. That's you. Own that. Tap into that. And that way you'll stop allowing this concept of I need to be motivated, because all it is an illusion. The whole concept. Because you don't need it to get it done. It's not a requirement. Stop waiting for a miraculous change in your view or in your heart. Stop waiting for that. I know people who've been in situations for years waiting for a miraculous change in how you see the situation or how you feel about the situation, or waiting for a miraculous change in how another person is going to see and feel. But the behavior has been the same for years. There's no such thing. And that's written. Faith without works is dead. You got to actively pursue change or it's not going to happen, period. So stop waiting. Tap into your faith in a power greater than you and yours. If you feel like you believe in something greater than you and a power greater than yours, That source is what you need to tap into, because you can't have faith and fear operating at the same time. Either you're going to have faith and roll with that, or you're going to be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be dominated by your fear when you're a person of faith. If you're not a person of faith, that's a whole nother situation. Don't allow the fact that what you are attempting to accomplish has never been done before to stop your pursuit. Sometimes we get complacent and satisfied with an accomplishment because it's greater than our family did before us. So it's hard to believe that we have so much more to achieve. We have to break through the glass ceiling. I call it the glass ceiling. For all of us, we've been exposed to a glass ceiling that was created by our home environment, our parents, the people who raised us, our friends, the expectations that are put before us, right? But for many of us, it's what we've been exposed to as achievable becomes the glass ceiling. What we've been exposed to as what can be achieved. So for many of us, if let's say your parents never graduated high school and they've been on welfare and public assistance and, they've gotten a check from the government and they haven't really worked. For some people, it may be challenging to see yourself past that. And, you know, we find this to be operational and working when we find ourselves self-sabotaging. Ask yourself, with some people, we tell ourselves, we fool ourselves, and we tell ourselves that we're ready to do something or we want to do something great, but we find ourselves self-sabotaging. You know you can complete this degree, or you know you can complete this certification, or you know you can start this business, but for some reason you have not done it. And you have not done it. And it's not because you're incapable, because you have the experience, you got the skill set, and for some reason you have not gotten over that hump. And for some people, they self-sabotage because they just can't see themselves there. Oftentimes it's connected to what they've been exposed to. That's why they say, if you want to be great or be better, then connect with people who are better. Because those people will elevate you. They will elevate your expectation of yourself, right? That's something that keeps people stuck. You have to be able to see yourself in the different circumstances and actually believe that you can accomplish it. If we think that we're incapable of operating on a certain level, then it's going to be hard for us to break through that ceiling. So that's where self-confidence building comes in. That's where self-value and self-worth building comes in. And that's where you can also get assistance from a qualified person to help you through that process. Because those things really do hold us back. When we're not aware of our self-value and our self-worth. And it's got to be intrinsic, because for many of us, we've defined our value based on what somebody else has said, based on how other people view us, and based on whether we've been selected for a job or whether we were able to get into a particular club or group or get connected with this circle. That's how we attach our value. That's why social media is so powerful right now. So let's get into a professional experience. I have a client who grew up in an environment that was perfect for him to end up dead or in jail. It was perfect. Absent father, mother, emotionally absent and abusive. Also, substance user, siblings addicted to drugs and locked up. He did some time in jail. At one point, he was heavy in the criminal lifestyle. It was a blessing that he was able to come out of jail and actually begin to turn his life around. He got married. He has a child. He got into a trade, HVAC. And he's been doing so well in that trade that he's been able to acquire his master's license, right? And it took some time for him to even push to get the license because he was in a place where that glass ceiling was holding him down. He had the skill set, the knowledge, but just hadn't saw himself beyond his current circumstances. And that's where you have that cloudy vision. If you had somebody else that could see beyond the clouds, I was able to see beyond the clouds ASAP. And I'm like, bruh, we can't stop there. We're not stopping there. And here's one of the things that helps you to realize it. He was upset at his job. They was overworking him, underpaying him, and throwing him crumbs. You know, you know your worth is greater than what it is when your job can give you a raise here and there. They throw you some crumbs, acknowledgement. You're making them way more than they're paying you. Trust me. Nobody can pay you what you can afford to pay yourself. If you're in your craft, you can pay yourself and nobody will be able to match that because they got to take their cut. So he ended up getting his license. Now the next step is for him to get his business. He's in a position right now where he can hire other people. He can have a business. And that's what we're working on. We're working on breaking through that glass ceiling. But it's been holding him back just like many other people. Because of the home environment, because the home environment is extremely toxic, siblings still right now strung out. Another thing that perpetuates this glass ceiling is a feeling of guilt, which we're going to be talking about. But it's a feeling of guilt. If you come from a family that is criminal minded, leeching off the government, not working, and you come home and now you got a whole business and you got your face on the side of a truck. There's guilt attached to that. Like, man, did I leave my family? There's guilt attached to that. How do I deserve this? Why do I deserve this? And my family is struggling right now. And you have to be able to embrace the fact that first off, everybody is individual. Everybody got a fighting chance. When you come out the womb, you got a fighting chance. You don't owe nobody nothing and nobody owe you nothing. I don't care what everybody done told you. You feel like your parents owe you something. You feel like your siblings owe you something. Nobody owe you nothing. You got a fighting chance. Why do I say that? Because I know people who were born. I had a kid who was born in a toilet. Crack addicted, born in the toilet. No chance. He has a fighting chance. He's out here scraping, trying to figure it out. People give up their children. People put their children in a dumpster. Nobody got to do nothing. So what does that mean? You owe yourself. So what does that mean? If you make it to be successful and the people around you don't feel bad about that. Because we all get cards and we got to play them to the best of our ability. Period. Period. Stop self-sabotaging. So the steps to help him overcome. What do? We implement an order and discipline. He was a heavy alcohol drinker, smoking weed, functioning again. Father, husband, working, but had vices that were holding him back. He got a handle on those things. He was challenged. His fear was challenged. We had to tap into his resiliency. We had to improve his vision beyond his circumstances. We had to empower him to create a desired narrative for his life. He had to create a desired narrative because prior to that, he couldn't see anything other than what he was used to seeing. He could not allow himself to follow the blueprint that was previously set for him. Just because you have a blueprint previously set for you by your parents, by the people that came before you, doesn't mean that you have to follow that blueprint unless it's successful. And he had to practice daily acceptance and release. When it comes to our mental wellness and our organizational health, It's all about what we can accept and what we can let go of. Those are the two things that's most challenging for people. Accept your current circumstances. Accept that it wasn't your fault. Accept that you need to be able to move on. Whatever you need to accept so that you can let go. In order for us to let go of anything, we first got to hold on to it. That's how you know you have to accept something. In order for me to let go of this phone, I got to first have it in my possession. Got to first hold it. Then I can let it go. Identify what you need to accept first so that you can let go. And this is a daily routine. Daily routine. So give y'all personal experience. Then we're going to get into the intentionality book and I'm going to get y'all out of here. So on March 21st, 2020, Governor Hogan of Maryland, he shut down the businesses. COVID-19 was happening. Coronavirus was spreading. Numbers were all out of whack. People didn't know what was going on. It was madness, chaos. He said, all right, we're going to shut down the businesses. At that time, I was working out 3 days a week. That day when I realized the gyms were going to be closed was a day I realized was going to be a mental warfare shift coming. I was getting ready to embark on mental warfare. Why? We are always conditioning ourselves. Every moment is conditioning us for the next moment. So this moment of crisis was going to condition me for the next moment of crisis. I had to be mindful of how I was going to let this moment condition me. So I said, a moment of crisis, rather than shut down and take that as an excuse, because many people did. Oh, wow, good. Man, the gym's closed. I could be at home. I could sleep in. I don't got to work out. I don't got to do this. I don't got to do that. Right? No, not me. I said, now what I'm going to do is I want to condition myself to step my game up in a crisis. So now I'm working out every day, 7 days a week. I did that from May 21st until August the 8th. And I know August the 8th because I was on a plane. It was my wife's birthday. And I realized something was off. My whole attitude, everything was thrown off. I'm like, man, something's off, right? And so I realized I hadn't worked out. And that's when I said, you know what? This has become medicine for me. This has become something that's mandatory. It's not a choice anymore. I have to do this, right? And so eventually I went from 7 days a week to 5 days a week. And since March the 21st, 2020, and here it is 2023, I've worked out at least 5 days a week since then. And since then I've caught COVID. I've been on vacations, you know, all types of opportunities to not work out. And I worked out anyway, not because I felt like it was a chore, not because I felt like it was a job, not because I felt like it was a task. It was because I felt like it was necessary. Necessary. And this is what is important. This is what is important. Similar to brushing our teeth or taking a shower, you have to view it as it's necessary. For some people, maybe you don't brush your teeth. Maybe you don't take a shower. Some people still don't take a shower every day. That's fine. Whatever you feel is necessary, right? But stop waiting for the right time. Stop waiting for the right time. Stop waiting until you're not busy and until, you know, your responsibilities change. If you need to accomplish something, you need to just do it. That's why the Nike slogan is, to me, the greatest of all time. Just do it. It doesn't get no better than that, right? But with that being said, you know, this is something that it takes effort. It's not something that's just going to happen, right? The mindset shift, checking your mindset, understanding that you really don't need to tell yourself that you need to be motivated to get something done. You don't need to feel like it. You don't even need to want to do it. There's things that you don't want to do and you do it anyway. You just simply have to require it in your life as a necessity. And once you put order in your life, and discipline in your life and consistency in your life, those other things will fall into place. Real quick, I want to get into an exercise from the intentionality workbook as promised. We're going through the my personal workbook. Hopefully you've gotten yours and we can get through these exercises. This is all about self-awareness and self-correction. Exercises on trauma, passion, purpose, motivation, medication. What is your medicine? Emotional intelligence, triggers and buttons, implicit bias, guilt, anger, the whole nine yards, along with strategies to correct. So today kind of lines up with today's organizational concern, which was motivation. What is your why? What is your why? List the reasons you get up and do it all over again each day. List the reasons you get up and do it all over again each day. Number one for me, my commitment to myself. My commitment to myself. Many people don't understand the importance of having a self-commitment. A self-commitment. It's more important for you to commit to self before anybody else. And we have to recommit each day to the version of ourselves that we want to be. Because every day you get the choice to be somebody else. Today you could be a mass murderer. You could be whoever you want to be. You could be an assassin. You could say, you know what, I'm going to do X, whatever. Whatever you want to do. You could be a gigolo. You could be a pimp. You could whatever you want to do. But if you want to be a person of integrity, if you want to be a person who of emotional intelligence, a person who runs to the pain of your life, faces the obstacles, who wants to become better, who wants to accept challenges, this is something you got to commit to every day. Because every day you're going to be tested. The universe is going to test your fabric every day. No days off. Especially when you put out there that you want to try something new. I challenge people all the time. If you want to try something new and you want to see how the world works, I want you to just say it to yourself in your mind. This is what I want to do different. And I want you to see how the world is going to start operating. Not literally, I can go down. I'm not going to do it now. But every time I've committed to doing something in my life, there's been things that came out of the woodworks to try to stop it. You got to recommit every day to who you are and who you want to be. And that's not to say that you're going to be perfect, but at least start off the day telling yourself you're not going to allow people to get you mad. You're not going to allow yourself to have road rage. So when that person honks the horn, if you have a moment of weakness, maybe you won't follow that person and try to cut them off. Maybe you'll catch yourself. I done seen people go back and forth in traffic trying to cut each other off. Stupid stuff like that. Right? Commit. My commitment to myself. I take responsibility as a leader of my home, the leader of my house, my wife, and my kids. I lead by example. So as a leader, I had to lead by example. That's my why. I know eyes are looking. I know eyes are looking. No days off. They're looking for, they're trying to find cheeks in the armor. They're trying to find weaknesses. They're trying to find inconsistencies. I remember when I was getting up every day, my wife didn't really understand what was going on. I remember her asking, so you just getting up, you going every day, right? And so the questions started to change over time because over time, it started off as, you know, you going to go work out today? And I'm like, yeah, right? Now the questions are, well, when are you going to work out? Or, you know, when you get back, can you, on your way back, can you get X, Y, and Z? Can you pick up? It's right now, it's known this is what's going to happen. There's a difference between questioning whether it's going to happen and whether or not you know it's going to happen. The expectation is there. Because the example is set, not just for my wife, but for my kids. They know I'm clockwork when it comes to things. If it's going to get done, it's done, right? There's no questions about it. I lead by example for my clients. I think this is very important. This is, as a leader, one of the greatest tools that you'll ever have as a leader is to be what it is that you want other people to be, period. One, it helps you to be able to hold them accountable. That's what compromises parents. That's what compromises spouses. That's what compromises supervisors. If you're trying to get your people at your job to come to work on time, but you late. Come on now. You're trying to get your kids to exercise, but you're not exercising. You're trying to tell your kids don't smoke weed, but you smoking weed. It's hard to hold somebody accountable when you're doing the same thing that you need to hold yourself accountable for. Start off with you, and it's going to bleed into everything else. It's going to transcend into everything else. That's my why. That's how it is for my clients as well. The strategies that we talk about, these are the things that I'm doing. These are the things that I'm doing. That's why I tell people, follow me on social media. Follow my wife on social media. Get a little peek into the life. Not no reality TV, but it's about as real as you're going to get, right? I'm living in my purpose and my design. That's another why. I'm living in my purpose to become the best version of me. So knowing that I've told myself that I have to become the best version of me, and knowing to become the best version of me, I got to face adversity. That keeps me going. It literally keeps me running to the pain. I know that if my knee is hurting, which my knee's been hurting, both my shoulders been hurting, I know I can't stop. Because I've already learned that I have to work those areas to heal those areas. I've already learned that. I may moderate the intensity and things like that, but I'm not going to stop moving. I stop moving when I'm asleep or when I'm gone. Other than that, I'm moving, right? So with that being said, I want to give you a couple of tools. Always tap into what I have available for people. You can go to my website, empowertoday.net. You can go to my Instagram, Empower All Day. TikTok, Empower All Day. And there's a link to be able to access things, but we have the empowerment affirmation cards, the King's Empowerment Deck for the brothers. Of course, the Intentionality Workbook. Got Run to the Pain. We got the Pain Pill, which is the workbook that goes along with Run to the Pain. And then I always like promoting my wife, Life Coach Vaughn. Life Coach VON on social media. She's huge when it comes to women advocacy. She has, if you follow her on Life Coach Vaughn, she's got a link to be able to access her stuff, but I have her affirmation cards there. She's got the Fly Abundance deck. She's got an app for affirmations. She's got journals, just a number of things. She's taking people through courses. Outstanding work she's doing. Outstanding individual. And with that being said, man, hopefully this helped you out a little bit when it comes to motivation. If you want to discuss topics and things of that nature that you really, really want to deal with, shoot me a DM, shoot me an email, drevans@empowertoday.net. And with that being said, Black people, go to therapy.
Black people go to therapy? Black people go to therapy? Black people go to therapy?
The canvas of life.
Black people
is covered.
Go to therapy.
Ink as far as the eye can see. As painful as we can bear. As traumatic as we can imagine.